every time this gospel pops up, it always catches my attention. Because Jesus says a pretty provocative thing. Surprise, right? He says something provocative. But today we hear him telling the crowds around him, many of whom were John the Baptist's disciples, that of those born of women, none are greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, wow, that really says a lot, doesn't it? And requires some unpacking. First of all, he says, so those born of women, who might be referring to. Well, basically, anyone who's lived up until that point, approximately in the year 30 AD, give or take. And Jesus was saying, none of them were greater than John the Baptist. Now, that includes Moses, prophets, many scholars and teachers, like you or I. You say John the Baptist is the greatest of all of them. Wow, that's really something. So this begs the question, what does it mean to be a good sort of person? But to even answer that question, we also need to ask, what does it mean to be a person? I was reading a commentary this past week from a medieval Jewish scholar named Maimonides, and he was really good at bringing out a lot of the nuances Hebrew language. Found it very fascinating. One of the topics he addressed is, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? You know, what does that word mean there? Let us make mankind or humankind in our own image. He argues that it would be a mistake to kind of look to us in terms of our physical attributes that we have and to use those as a kind of a model for saying God is, because that would make God more important. So, like, for instance, just because we have hands and arms and feet, that God would have hands and arms and feet. We argue that a better way to understand this, made in the image of God, is that we should look to the qualities that God has, and look to the qualities that God has imparted into human beings, namely intellect and will. Human beings are unique, and that we alone have the capacity to understand the world around us deeply and to make decisions that significantly affect that same world. You can't think of another part of creation that can affect the world the same way human beings can. You know, look around at everything human beings have built, even in this city, Virginia Beach. Perhaps the closest animal that can modify its environment significantly would be the beaver. Building your dams and creating a pond out of a river and everything, but even that fails in comparison. So we could argue that being a person, somebody made in God's image, means that we have intellect and will. You know, the question is, what is it that makes up a human being? How, like, what makes up a human being qualified on its wares? Because we have other qualities, and some of these that we actually do share with them. For example, we have desires and aversions. If something's bad for us, we pull away. If something seems good for us, we would kind of move towards it. I had an open flame in front of me, and I reached out with my hand, and my hand would naturally jerk away, because being that close to a fire would cause harm if we burn it. Experience pain and pull away. But we also have desires. We think something is good, we might move towards it. That's something else we share with other animals. Just yesterday, I came home after a Church Development Institute gathering there for a good part of the weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And when I got home, the only one who was there to greet me was my dog. And so I went and got settled in a little bit, and then I picked up his leash. And at what point this desire to go on a walk, because just full on display. Jumping up and down, tail wagging, mouth open, tongue hanging out, panting. He was very, very excited. Pretty good for a 16-year-old dog. But as anyone knows who's raised a dog before or has had a dog, if you they misinterpret your signals, for example, if you just kind of bump the leash with your elbow, or if you pick it up to move it somewhere else because it's in the wrong spot, the animal can still, the desire can be there and be rather difficult to get them calmed down. Another quality we share with animals is the ability to sense things. We can see, smell, hear, taste, and touch. It's a way that human beings can gather information about the world. The human beings are unique in that because of intellect and will, we can exert some control and influence over our desires. But no, it's not time to go for a walk right now. And we can interpret sensory data into a larger picture. I can smell smoke, for example, and either infer that there's a fire somewhere, or that it might be my neighbor barbecuing outside, which even yesterday in the cold, he was still doing it. Very dedicated person. Coming back to our gospel story, John the Baptist, by Jesus' own testimony, was a good sort of person. What might that mean? We might say that he was a person who lived his life well. And if we take the idea of a human being, these qualities, senses, desires, will, and intellect, ideally they would work together in harmony. And together in harmony, they would orient themselves towards the ultimate good, which is God. We can imagine speaking of the sort of person Jesus describing, John the Baptist, as great. Will, intellect, senses, desires, all oriented towards God. Lately, my son has become very interested in football. So we've been watching a fair amount together. And I think this is a good example of something working in harmony. Because every player has a different but complementary role, and the quarterback calls the play, which tells the lineman who are running, or the lineman who should block, the receivers which patterns to run, and the running backs whether to take a handoff, fake, or to help one another with their functions. As long as everyone on the team listens to the quarterback and follows his instructions, play goes reasonably well, depending on how well the defense plays. But if one or two players start doing their own thing, I don't care what that quarterback says, I'm going to do this instead. Well, the play can break down very quickly. Our very selves as human beings function in the same way. Our intellect and wills have a natural tendency towards the good, and they really should be the ones in charge because of understanding and making decisions, conscious decisions towards the good. We pursue things that we perceive as pleasing. But the other aspects of us can have a mind of their own sometimes, can't they? Now, I'm somebody that might say that my desire to take over something is really, really tempting. For example, I may need to eat healthy food and be careful about what I eat. Now, I have two diabetic parents. That's always a concern of mine. Boy, I smell those chocolate chip cookies, especially if they're baked fresh out of the oven. Boy, desires can really start making an impact on my decisions. It can be a lot more difficult at that point to make the right choice. Cookies may be a silly example, but it does appear in society that people's desires have taken them over and driven many decisions. Instead of choosing what is good for us, for the people around us, and society in general, many people can look to their own interests and ignore the impact they've had on others. Or they may indulge some momentary pleasure and ignore long-term consequences. When this happens, the intellect stops playing a role and doesn't identify what is good or what is best. That's just kind of a desire, indulging that desire. Which becomes the proverbial tale that is the dog. So what was different about John the Baptist? And he had some pretty unique experiences because he experienced God so closely, and which was a gift given to him. That was an aspect of grace, which oriented him towards God. He was had very close proximity to Jesus. Jesus being God incarnate, at his earliest age, his entire being was oriented towards God, towards the good. In the Gospel of Luke, we have this wonderful story in a Protestant place. We have the Virgin Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. And so each of them were pregnant, so the two boys were in their mother's womb. And Luke tells us that at that moment, Mary comes in, she greets her cousin Elizabeth. John leapt for joy. inside his mother's womb. Even before he was born, John's intellect, will, desires, even senses were oriented towards God. He had this gift of God incarnate, drawing close to him. Well, certainly that had impacts. In many ways, he experienced and perceived that intense goodness, which not only oriented him, but brought him great joy. That text says, Elizabeth responding to Mary says, when I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Something else, something special. Thomas Aquinas called this stage of the human being original justice, where our minds and hearts and wills and desires and just everything is oriented in the proper direction towards God. So that addresses one part of our main question. He's saying John the Baptist being great, we're the greatest. He also said that those in the kingdom of heaven, even the least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than he. So why might Jesus say this? Again, just to recap, John the Baptist was the greatest. Those in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was saying, are even greater. What's going on here? Because it sounds like John's had a pretty nice arrangement, but at least until he goes to prison and martyred. Certainly, none of us had the good fortune to meet Jesus while we were in our mother's wombs. So we may have had the same experience, leaping for joy. But what we do have, and the gift that God has given us in today's day and age, or say ever since Jesus ascended, was the church. The church was always meant to be a gift for human beings, a gift to point us towards what is good, to help us to reorient ourselves. In the church, we have sacraments that are celebrated, and we get to partake in them. So let's think for a moment about what happens. Something very special happens when we pray over the bread and the wine. And afterwards, they are no longer merely bread and wine, they are something more, they are something holy. Something holy that we get to eat and to drink. We notice its taste, its texture, its smell. We hear the words spoken to us, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. We can look at the sacramental elements. All these experiences, even that part of us where we experience our senses, sight, taste, touch, etc. We can orient these senses towards the holy. For us, what is good. Yeah, that's just one of the many gifts we experience partaking in the sacrament. And also, something else happens as well. Because of the gift of faith, something that God uses in people, our intellects are elevated to perceive something else. While we see, taste, touch, bread, and wine, by faith, we are also experiencing Christ Himself. So our intellect is elevated. Each person made a decision to be here today. This is the third part. We have our senses, we have our intellect elevated, but we also made a decision. We are exercising our will to come here and be a part of this celebration of the Eucharist, to be here at St. Francis. And in doing so, a person's will is oriented towards the good, towards God. Simply choosing to be here and take part in the sacrament has an effect on your entire being. Doing so also has an effect on your desires. By giving the will and intellect in a proper place, placing the quarterback, one driving the ship, that desire begins to cooperate. And people who have made a practice of being in church grow to look forward to it because they know they are pursuing something perfectly good. We are prepared to pursue God. I believe God wants us to be good sort of people because that is the way God designed us. We have intellects and wills that are meant to discern and pursue what is good. We have a desire that is meant to wish for the good, and senses meant to perceive the good. Even in this fallen world, when things have gotten out of whack and are in the process of being restored. good sort of person that Jesus describes is one where all these aspects are oriented toward their intended purpose and cooperated towards the same objective. John the Baptist had a very unique experience of being oriented towards God through Christ, you know, meeting Christ even before he was born and meeting for joy in his mother's womb. For those of us today, we have the church and the sacraments, which gives us multiple opportunities throughout our whole lives, each and every week, to choose and experience what is good. What a great gift we have. What a great gift that God gives us that we can orient ourselves just through simple act of coming here, hearing the word of God proclaimed, partaking in the sacraments, eating and drinking. So today I would like to encourage you to attend church as much as possible. Participate in the sacraments. Go in peace, love, and serve the Lord where you make choices in your life that are good, or at least as good as we can do right at that moment. And even more, we can make great choices, as great as we can in that moment, to the extent of the grace given to us. Because God always wants you to experience that. God wants you to experience that.